Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 7, and we will continue from there. We've seen God says the earth is wicked, I'm going to destroy it, tells Noah to build an ark. We talked about that, the building of the ark, the size, the dimensions, and the process of him building the ark. Verse 22 of chapter 6 says, and thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So we see Noah's obedience to God. I think sometimes we look at individual in Scripture and say, spiritual giants. But I think a lot of times it just comes down to they're willing to obey what God has given them, the job that God's given them to do. And it's not that we can't obey, right? We've got that capability if we just will. So anyhow, we talked about all the occupants of the ark. We got about verse 6, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were upon the earth. And we talked about the time frame of Noah's preparation, different possibilities there. I guess I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, and probably many times. If we're not given the details, maybe it's not important that we have specific details. We're given enough to verify what happened. Verse 7, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons and his wives with him, or his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. And there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. I wondered, because we're going to see kind of this checklist again. Why do we go through this list again? It's kind of a verification. This God told him this was what was supposed to go in the ark. This is kind of a verification list. This is what went in the ark. So check, check, check. And the last part of verse 9, as God had commanded Noah. So this was God's plan, this is what needed to be done, and here's verification of that's what took place. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. I don't remember if we talked about this or not, but that means that Noah and his family were in the ark for a week before it started to rain. Do you wonder, did they wonder how long it's going to be? I mean, we're in the ark, we're all ready to go, preparations are made. Yep, been a couple days, haven't seen any rain yet, whatever rain is, because they hadn't seen rain either, remember? There was no rain up to this point. Well, it's been 5 days, I still don't see anything out there. Kind of like sometimes we have a little test of faith, you know? Are you willing to wait for those answers that God provides? So we see, interesting here, 7 days before the flood began. Verse 11, it's interesting. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of this month, the same were all the fountains of the great deep broke up and the windows of the heaven were opened. Interesting here that we're given what? The specific day that the flood started. So, second month, 17th day, that's the 17th of February, right? No. Go ahead.
Do you know that from the language, whether it means the second month of February or if it means the second month of the 600th year?
Okay, that's the question. What calendar was this used from? We don't know. Obviously, it's not our calendar, because our calendar was not around. Actually, our calendar works off the sun. The Jewish calendar works off the moon. And who knows if there was even any calendar at this point. You're right. It could be that in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day that Noah was alive, that's when the flood started, which is a specific date as well. Does it really, I'm going to say again, it doesn't really matter that what calendar or what reference they're referencing to, but God gives us a specific day. What does that do? If you have a specific day that something started, you have validation of that event taking place. It wasn't just, oh yeah, sometime when he was 600 and 605, you know, sometime in that time frame. You see how that's kind of mushy and there's no hard facts. But God gives us this specific day that it started, which should give reassurance that, I mean, I know we believe that the account is true, but with specific facts like this, you can say, yeah, see, I have specific details. I know the exact, ever tell anybody? I know the exact day that the flood started. There you go. And they would say, what? How do you know? Well, it's right here in Scripture. It tells us, I'm going to say February 17th, but it's not. But interesting. And again, we don't know the calendar that was used, and if not, maybe it was Noah's lifespan. But we know that in that year, in that 600th year of Noah's life, in that year is when the flood took place, right? And on the second month, 17th day, is when the flood started. We also know that Methuselah died in the year of the flood, which means in that 600th year, second month, 17 days. So 2 months and 17 days from when Noah turned 600 years, somewhere in that time frame, that 2 months, 17 days, Methuselah died. It wasn't long after Methuselah died that what? Judgment took place, and that's what his name means. When he dies, judgment. So it wasn't a long period of time after Methuselah died that God judged the earth for their sinfulness. So, verse 12, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Interesting, this is the second time that we've heard 40 days and 40 nights. Back in verse 4, it says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. For how long? 40 days and 40 nights. We'll see it again when we come to it. Which means if it's mentioned 2 or 3 or 4 times, actually, there must be in some importance to that. Again, we're given specifics. We're not given all the details. You know, it's the details that we don't have that we wonder about. But we are given some specific details. God says it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Here again, 40 days and 40 nights. Specific. So we're given specifics about the flood. Not every specific, but some of those. Again, it says in the self same day, so in that day, that Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and 3 wives of his sons with them, went into the ark. They and every beast, so we're told this list again, they and every beast after his kind, and after the, excuse me, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl of his kind, and every bird of every sort. What's left out here? Fish. So obviously fish can swim in the water, right? So not that there weren't any fish that died during this catastrophe. Obviously there very easily could have been, but fish or amphibians are not mentioned in the list. But again, we have this list of what's in the ark.
Fossils, they have some rocks that just have hundreds of fish dead, and they call that a fossil graveyard.
fossil graveyard. Right. Right. Verse 15, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. So again, a verification of what God had commanded is what took place. And this is what God determined was going to go in the ark to preserve life after the flood. I see Stuart's hand. Yes. What that means is all in the same day. Not in the self same day after this period, but in that self same day, all in the same day, all these entered into the ark.
Oh, okay. So that applies everything after that.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Carol. About plants. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that in a minute about plants. Let's keep going. Verse 16, as God had commanded them, and the Lord what? The Lord shut them in. Now, I don't know if he's actually the one that shut the door or he's the one that sealed the door, but anyway, God is the one that said, you're in the ark, it's sealed. This is who is going to survive this catastrophic flood. This is who's found grace in my eyes. This is who's going to carry on the human race afterwards. It wasn't Noah decided it's time to shut and seal the ark. God did that. We see God's hand moving even in this, in the preparations, in bringing the animals, and then in sealing up the door. I want to read we're going to start to talk about the flood specifically, and I want to read something to you. As we talk about the flood, we're going to look at the different verses and what type of flood that describes. Mankind, the world wants to say that there may have been a local flood, but not a worldwide flood. I just want to read this to you. It was interesting how they put it here. The question of the nature and historicity of Noah's deluge or the flood is of immense importance to biblical Christianity. You realize this is extremely important, the evidence about the flood? Sometimes we don't think about, oh yeah, okay, God caused it to rain, Noah's in the ark. The ark, you know, settled on Mount Ararat, the animals got off, and Noah survived, and the human race began again. Anyhow, let me continue. The fact of the flood is a pivotal issue in the entire conflict between Christianity and the world, or anti-Christianity. If the principle of, get this, innate evolutionary development, so if the principle of evolution within itself, the development of evolution, if that can fully explain the universe and all of its inhabitants, and its proponents claim, then there's no need to postulate a creator, right? If evolution is the proof of why we're here and everything that's taken place up to this point, which includes geological findings, which we're going to get into in a little bit as well, then there's no need for a creator, right? And that's what mankind has tried to do for hundreds of years. If I can figure out a way that all this came together without bringing God into the picture, then I can ignore the fact that there's a creator. And if I can ignore there's a fact that there's a creator, then I don't have to pay attention to what people claim is his word. And if I don't have to pay attention to that, then I don't have to follow the rules. And if I don't have to follow the rules, then I can make up my own rules. Isn't that what the world does? Exactly. I'm making up my own rules. I'm living my own way. I'm in control. I'll do what I want to do. and I don't have to listen to God. I don't want to listen to God. I don't want to pay attention to anything he has to say. And that's the basis behind evolution. The chief evidence for evolution is the geological record and the supposed billions of years of Earth history, documented by fossils entombed in sedimentary rock in the Earth's crust, and there is no room in this framework of interpretation for a worldwide flood. So if the later is actually occurred, if the flood has actually occurred, the assumption of uniformity of evolution as guiding principles in interpreting the Earth's history are thereby proved completely deceptive and false. So what's this saying? You either have the flood or you have the evolutionary process, because the evolutionary process bases its facts off of the layers of Earth and how that was formed. And if you don't accept the flood, then you have to go by the way things are formed today. And the way things are formed today is it takes long periods of time to create layers upon layers upon layers. So they claim this is a strata, this is a strata. There's got to be thousands or millions of years in between these because it takes so long to create that layer the way the world works now. And that's what they go by. And if I'm going to ignore the fact of the flood and go by the science, the way things work now, then that's the conclusion you come up with. But those same layers can easily be formed extremely quickly in the case of a flood. Because in the case of the flood, the heavy sediment, what? Drops first, and then lighter layers, and lighter layers, and lighter layers. I was talking to Doug last week. He mentioned Mount St. Helens. Everybody heard what happened to Mount St. Helens several years ago, okay? As that sediment fell, that ash fell and sediment fell, created layers. There's a river that runs through that area.
There's actually a canyon.
A canyon. Okay, where it layered up. And a river that runs through that canyon that cut through those layers, and you see those layers. How long did it take those layers to develop? Millions of years?
Hours.
So it's possible that layers could be developed in hours or days, not millions of years. Let me keep reading. In the history of Earth, the Earth has suffered much under the effects of the curse. Heat, cold, floods, droughts, earthquakes, eruptions of all kinds, physical upheavals have disturbed its crust and the inhabitants dwelling on its surface. Still happens today, right? Volcanoes, earthquakes, floods, monsoons, tsunamis, whatever. All this stuff takes place today. Violent things take place. But immeasurably greater in magnitude and extent than all other catastrophes combined was the Great Flood. In modern age of science skepticism, the enormity of this great event of the past has been all but forgotten. Right? That's what they want to do, is forget that this took place. And again, we've talked about that, because if I can forget the flood, I don't have to listen to the biblical evidence, and I don't have to accept the Bible as true. Excuse me. It's testimony of the awfulness of sin and the reality of divine retribution. You know, that goes along with the flood. If you accept the account of the flood, you have to accept the reason for the flood. The reason for the flood was man was good, right? Man's getting better over time. Man can improve. Man's okay if just left to himself. Things will get better. No. You have to accept the condition of mankind at that point. Not only that, but the fact that God brought judgment upon the earth for that reason. See why they don't want to accept the flood? Because of all this stuff that piles up. One more paragraph here I want to read. And this is the worst of all of it. Even conservative Christians, although professing belief in the divine inspiration of Scripture, have often ignored the significance of the flood. They have been intimidated by the evolutionary geologists and paleontologists who, for over 100 years, have insisted that all the Earth's history should be explained in terms of slow development over great ages and the operation of the same natural process which we now see. And that is the worst of all of it, that conservative believers go to what the world says and try to blend the two together. You've got the scriptural account and you got the world's account of how everything was formed. You can't mesh the two together. You got truth and a lie. What happens when you put a lie with the truth? You got no truth anymore, right? There may be some truth in there, but it's not all truth. You can't do that. But unfortunately, that's what people do. Well, maybe it wasn't millions, maybe it was thousands of years. Maybe a day was a period of time and was thousands of years or hundreds of thousands of years. And not millions like the evolution. I'm not going that far like the evolutionists do. It wasn't millions of years, but it was thousands of years. No, it was a day. We've talked about that. The flood took place. Let me keep going. Many Christians have attempted to work out a compromise, that's what I just talked about, with evolutionary geology by explaining the flood as a local flood. So the flood, maybe the flood did take place, but if it's a local flood, then it flooded that area, and I can still go by, because, you know what, these scientists are smarter than I am. They know more than I do, so they must know what is right and what's wrong, because they've got all these letters after their name.
We don't know
it,
didn't know
how to walk. Yeah. So it must be that they know the truth, so I have to accept what they're saying. And so, again, they try to work that out. A local flood caused by the overflow of the Euphrates or some other river in the Middle East. It must be settled here, and that's why I'm stopping here to talk about this as we look at these next 7 or 8 verses. What Scripture tells us about the flood and the terminology that it uses, and that's why I wanted to stop here. Yep, there it goes. Okay, verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. Okay, question number one, if it lifted up the ark, how much water would it take to lift up a ship the size of an oil tanker? Okay, so at least 30, 40 feet. And this is in the early stages of the flood. This isn't at the end, you know, it's not like an inch a day, 40 days, 40 inches, you know, kind of thing. This is early on. The ark was lifted up above the earth. and the waters prevailed. Here's another one. I'm sorry, back to about the ark. If it was just a local flood, why would Noah have to build an ark the size of an oil tanker? Why would Noah have to bring all the animals into the ark? If it was a local flood, what do people do? Run away to someplace higher, right? So the whole idea of the ark would be unnecessary if it was just some kind of local flood that took place, even if it was a regional flood that took place. Individuals, and obviously at this point in time, there's a lot of individuals in the world. This isn't, you know, it's not just like 100 or 400 or 800 or 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. There's millions of people alive on the earth at this point in time. So not everybody, well, we'll get to that in a minute. it says the waters prevailed. Prevailed here means overwhelmingly mighty, increased greatly. So that's what prevailed here. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. Does that sound like a local flood? I mean, somebody that's involved in a local flood might say the waters prevailed, but not upon the face of the earth. The waters prevailed in Hamburg area when Buck Lake overflowed and the church flooded. And, you know, I might see the waters prevail, but I wouldn't say over the whole earth. But that's what it says. The waters prevailed. And the ark went upon the face. Oh, sorry, verse 19. 18. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. So the ark floated. So you're going to need 20, 30, 40 feet of water to pick up the ark and its cargo. Obviously, it's not empty. It's cargo. It's fully loaded. So there's going to be quite a bit of, they call that draft, how much is below the water line. So obviously, there's got to be a fair bit of water there. The next verse, and the waters prevailed what? Exceedingly. It wasn't just overwhelmingly, or it didn't just increase greatly. It prevailed exceedingly. Excuse me. Much more, this double superlative here means much more than just overwhelming or increasing mightily. You get the picture of the idea? In other words, as Scripture gives us this description, it's not just they prevailed upon the face of the earth. They prevailed overwhelmingly. Is there any doubt anymore about the purpose of the description here? It prevailed exceedingly, again, upon the earth. And all the high hills were under, the whole heaven were covered. So all the hills, whatever geography there was at the time, there was at least hills. I don't know if there was mountains or not, but it doesn't really matter, does it? The next verse. Up to an amount of what? 15 cubits. Anybody know what 15 cubits is? 22 and a half feet, okay. 22 and a half feet above all high hills and or mountains. That sounds like a local flood, doesn't it? Where does usual local flood usually take place? In the valleys, right? Or on the plains, maybe, but not once you get to the mountains. Again, this is describing a universal flood, not a local flood, not just in a certain area. And again, I think we're given these details specifically to prove the fact that the flood took place. And there's our bell. And we're going to continue on with the flood. Why is the flood so important? And we're going to get to this a little later. Remember, I talked about the layers in the earth. God understood that geologists and scientists were going to find those layers. God has given us the reason, an explanation for those layers. We don't have to trust science. We trust Scripture. Hopefully, we trust Scripture more than science. God has given us the facts that we need, Pastor.
You said, why is the flood
important? Yeah. Yeah.
If we doubt that, then we don't have anything to go on.
Yeah. We don't have a leg to stand on. Yeah. Okay. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.